Good morning. The first reading is from 2 John verses chapter 1, verses 7 through 13. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Here ends the reading. Second reading is Psalm chapter 73, verses 1 through 3 and 21 through 28. Truly God is good to Israel, such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet have almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by the right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Who am I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Here ends the reading.
Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. I invite any kids to come forward here. Got a brief children's sermon. So don't take them yet, Jill. I got a children's sermon here real quick. All right. Hang out here, kids. I'll be right back. I got to get something. All right. What do we got here? A light bulb. You know, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," right? And, you know, if we see the light, it can be pretty bright. And that's a good thing. God's light is very bright. And God's light can do things. His word goes out. It does not return void. See, we got what's called a radiometer here. And if I shine the light on it, let's get the stop spinning there. We'll see that it'll start to spin. Look at that. Oh, why isn't it going? Come on, is it broken? It's trying to go. I'm not holding it level. There we go. Now it's starting to turn. How is that working? Why is that able to turn like that? Is anything touching it? Pushing on it? Blowing on it? No. I turn the light off, and it stops. So God's power, his light, can do amazing things. It can make our lives move. It can do things. And if we're closer to God, look what happens, how fast it goes. All right, and if I'm further away from God, doesn't work real well, huh? So being close to God really helps. Why don't you hold that there, Jacob? See if you can hold it level. Let's get it to stop spinning, and now hold it level if you can. We'll know if it's level or not. Okay, so I can be spinning, but then if something comes between me and God, what happens? It stops, right? So we can't let stuff come between us and God. We can't do that. And we also got to be close to God. We're going to go a lot better than if we're far away. Now, if this is God and this is us, what I just did is wrong. Because does God move? He doesn't. We move. Sometimes we're further from him and sometimes we're closer. It's an important thing to remember. So we're going to learn today, the big folks are, about sticking to the teachings and staying close to God. And as you grow throughout your life, stay close to God too, because he's going to lead you in the right ways and he's going to give you the energy so that you can just spin and make a difference in this world to His glory. All right? You want to go with Jill and Maya? You can now. All right. Physics is pretty neat. I mean, just stuff like that. And, you know, for years, like I said, I've been teaching this in the classroom for a couple decades plus. And I'd see things like this, and I'd think, oh, this is just like God in us. Yeah, but I couldn't really say it. You know, just, and now when I volunteer up at Sacred Journey School, I was up there the other day, and it was great. They were going through their spelling words, these third graders, and I asked them, well, where do you see that word in the Bible, like land? They said, the promised land, okay, or the land of milk and honey, you know, and stuff like that, where we could just bring Scripture into the education. And it's so wonderful to volunteer at a Christian school where I can finally let loose with the stuff that I want to and let God speak. I mean, it's great. All right, speaking of God speaking, let's hear from Him. Lord, we thank You that You do speak to us through Your Word, through our minds, through others, and in so many ways, Lord. Let us be open to Your teachings. Let us be faithful to follow You and to love others in the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today we're going to finish out 2 John. We worked through 1 John, 2 John, which has only 13 verses. Next will be 3 John, which is a little bit longer. It has 14 verses instead of 13. Okay, John sort of shortened his last two letters here, but bringing it in a big way. One of the themes that we saw all throughout 1 John and now through 2 John was warnings. We start out here in verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. So don't be misled. The first letter, as we worked through that in the last couple months, that was a big theme. And here he's talking about the Gnostics once again. Gnosticism was a false teaching that was prevalent at that time, and it was teaching about the physical and the spiritual, how the physical is corrupt, but the spiritual is pure. Therefore, we should just be pure in the spirit because we live in a physical world. And also said that Jesus did not come in physical form because that would be impure, because He is pure. Well, yes, He is pure, but He did come in physical form. He entered this world, lived with us, taught us, forgave and healed, and among other things. So He's warning of deception. He's warning about those that are going to try to mislead Christians. The Antichrist, okay? Plural Antichrist. There is the one big Antichrist that will be revealed later on, of course. But there are many Antichrists, anybody who goes against the teachings of God, as he says here. So he warns of deception. Paul also does in his letters to Timothy. And it's a big concern even today. I don't want to see people misled. John was big on keeping them on the path. Paul was, and I am too. I want to keep people on the path. And if you ever hear me say anything that leads people the wrong way, let me know, because I need to be corrected immediately. These things that mislead people, our enemies are not flesh and blood. Many times they are ideologies, yet cults like Jim Jones, the People's Temple, hundreds of people killed in South America for following false teachings. The prosperity gospel that we hear nowadays, you can tune in on YouTube or on TV or whatever and hear these preachers. They're talking about how we give so that we can get, a selfish thing, so that we can be built up. No, it's not about that. We give because we love others and are concerned about them. We are concerned. We care about others. There's other ideologies that seek to lead us from God, like this whole LGBT thing, okay? It's a false gospel saying we should love one another. Yes, we should love one another. Absolutely, 100%. And because I care about you people, I cannot cheer you on in sin. Because I love you, I cannot clap for your parades and things like that. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He did not build them up in their sin. He said, let me show you a better way. Because I don't want to see anybody to perish. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm the same way. I want to lead people to Christ. I don't want to see them led away from Him. So let us be loving as we try to save people from these ideologies and these things that seek to lead them away to possible destruction. It's not God's will for them. And if we're working against God's will, we're supporting sin. No, we work for God's will. We want to be aligned with God's will because He knows the best way. His word is perfect. His word is true. So we want to stick to the truth, stick to His word, and stay close to God. That's the theme for today. Stick to the truth, the word, and stay close to God. But in a loving way again, too. We can't be hating. Yes, we hate what is evil, Romans 12:9. And we cling to what is good, but we don't hate the people. It's the ideologies that they're caught up in, the ways they're being misled, the way that Scripture is being twisted at times to mislead them. That is what is wrong. The deceivers that are doing that. Alrighty, picking up with verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Abide in His doctrine, not in other doctrines, okay? It's got to be about Him and the Word. Whoever does that does not have God. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So to abide is used twice here. It's also used in verse 2. The truth, because of the truth which abides in us. Again, that word abide. And that's what really jumped out at me as I was reading through this, as I was preparing this. The word abide. If we look in the English dictionary, the word abide would mean to live with, to accept, to tolerate. Okay? To learn to tolerate pain or something like that, to abide with it, sort of make peace with it, even though it's not right. But here it's a different kind of abide. This is abiding with God and abiding with His will and in His doctrine so that He will abide or live in us. It's a stronger thing here. It's like an intimacy. It's to soak in His presence when you can feel that peace, when you're abiding in God and in His love. You're going to have an inner peace. Even when things are raging out of control around you, when there's complete chaos, abiding with God, He's going to give you His special peace. It's going to fill you. It's going to soak into every cell of your body, and it's going to just, I don't know, surround your spirit, create an atmosphere. When we are close to God and following His teachings, we will have that peace. To be one with Him is another way to put it. And how much closer can you be to someone than to be one with them? To be one with God. That's the best place to be. To be surrounded with Him, to merge with Him, to be one with Him. So as we travel through this life, let us seek to be one with God, to abide with Him, and to let Him use us to make a difference in this world to His glory. Alrighty. So he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son, yes. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the doctrine, or a false doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. And that's the tough part right there. Yeah, we want to love people. We cannot accept what they're standing for if they're leading others away from Christ. But we love the people. We want to help them. We want to change them. And we offer ourselves up that God would do that through us. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, right? Those that were straying after false teachings, those that were going down the wrong paths, those that were living in sin. He came for them, and He came for us, of course. And yes, we were living in sin. We give our lives to Him. We no longer live intentionally against the will of God. We seek to follow Him. We're still going to screw up. We're still going to have the little sins. Things are going to happen. We're human. But we're not living intentionally and knowingly against Him and against His doctrine. And against His will for us. If we're opposed to God, that's the wrong place to be. We should seek to be aligned with Him because He knows best. So stick to the teachings and stay close to God is the way I could paraphrase this. Stick to the teachings, what He has put out here, for our good, right? That we would follow Him. Stick to His teachings and stay close to Him. What are His teachings? To love God and love one another. To love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we're about as Christians. We love God. We seek to follow Him. We want to be aligned with Him. And we want to love others, to bring the good news to others, that they can turn to Him as well and have peace in this life and eternity with God in the next. That's His will. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should repent, should turn, and come back to Him. Let us be a part of that. Not judging others. It's not ours to judge. Not condemning others. That's not our job. Our job is to love others. To want the best for them. To want them to be in close relationship with God. That's his will. That's what he desires. So let us work for that. We don't condemn. We don't judge. We want the best for people. We want them to come and experience God. Invite others to come here and to experience God, to experience the worship here, to experience the word, to experience the atmosphere where he is glorified. It's a great place to be, where we're not just surviving in this world, but we're thriving because we are working with God in alignment with his will. He is going to support us. He is going to build us up. He is going to provide for what we need. Never work against him. Always work for him. All right, so again, the warnings, right? Do not receive these people in the house or greet them. Others are going to see that and think that you're standing up for what they believe in. Oh, boy, I get talking about walking a tightrope, right? We want to love the people. We want to do what we can to help them, but we cannot support them in their sin. I am not going to buy an alcoholic a bottle of vodka and hand it to them. I'm not going to support them in their sin. And again, that tightrope, when we look at today's culture and society and what they believe, the false beliefs, the false doctrines, we have to stand for truth, folks, but in a loving way. And that's where God help us navigate that. Help us to navigate that. All right, he closes the letter then, having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. That's better, right? Writing a letter to someone it's great. You're showing you care. But being there face to face is the best. We see it today with all the teenagers texting each other. Yeah, I can send a message. I can send many messages, but those messages can be taken in the wrong way. How many of you have seen, you know, drama result when someone takes a text in the wrong way or something like that? Oh, yeah, a misunderstanding, right? It's hard. There's so many nonverbals that we don't get, you know, in an email or a text. You don't get to read the person's motions, their gestures, their facial expressions that say more than the words do many times. Plus, just being with someone, what joy. What joy to be in the presence of someone, especially if you've been away for a while. We've all experienced that. You've been away from people you love for months, maybe years, and you get to be there face to face and to share. Yeah, that part really speaks loudly. I love it. Alrighty. So being in a relationship with God, being close to him, sticking to the teachings and staying close to God. We also hear that in the Psalms today. Asaph wrote this psalm. David wrote many of the Psalms, at least one written by Moses, others by people that we don't know who wrote them. This one was written by Asaph. Asaph was a worship leader. He led the praise team, sort of like Monica here, okay? Leads the praise team. He would get musicians together to praise God. They would, you know, sing psalms and songs of praise and things like that. So that was Asaph's job. He got paid to do something he loved. And that's pretty cool. If you can experience that, you find that right career where you get paid to do something you love. You look forward to going to work every day. That's a great thing. Alrighty. So he starts out lamenting. Truly God is good to Israel, yes, to such as are pure in heart, always will be faithful. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Alrighty, the following verses, and the next verses 4 through 20, just build on that theme. Where the wicked seem to have it so good. There's these people that are, I don't know, caught up in greed and things like that, and they're accumulating all kinds of worldly goods. They got the mansions, they got the jet planes, they got the Maseratis, Lamborghinis, take your choice, Ferraris, all those things, and they seem to have it so good. Well, good in this world, but there's something bigger awaiting us, right? It's better to have peace in this world and then look forward to a victory in the next. We should not be all about possessions and things like that because they will start to control a person. And, you know, we want God to be in control. So the whole next section there deals with that, being envious of the boastful. And, hey, be satisfied, be content with what you have. We have enough. I got plenty of venison and pheasant and fish in the freezer, okay? I've got enough. I got a truck that runs. I've got enough. I got a good family, good wife. I've got enough. And I should be content with that. So don't be caught up in the things of this world. Don't be caught up in the ways of this world. Just to have enough. Not to have too little, to be in want, and not to have too much where our attention can be on the other things, but to have enough is a good place to be. Okay, then he's reminded of what he has, how he is foolish and ignorant. Verse 22, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you, being with God. Again, being close to him. You hold me by my right hand. He's holding us. We're not holding on to him. He's holding us. Important distinction there, right? Yes, we hold on to God. We hold on to his teachings. But when he's holding on to us, or else you can use the fireman's grip, right? We're both hold on to each other. That's great. We at times might let go. Will he? No. We can choose to let go. We can choose to stray. But he's going to be there and be faithful. But the best case scenario is when both are holding on. We're holding on to him and he's holding on to us. And we let ourselves be led. Just like a little child, okay? You got a three-year-old or something like that. Grab them by the hand and they trust you. And they are led by you. What a beautiful picture. Us being led by God. So he holds on to my right hand. And yeah, I love that. He's doing the holding. You will guide me with your counsel. Let us be open to his guidance, following his truth, right? Again, following his truth, not the ways of this world, but his truth, which is laid out clearly in here. If you're not sure what the truth is, turn to Scripture. It's in there. You want help interpreting it? Let me know. All right? And afterward, receive me to glory. There's that reward. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Not just to get you through this situation, which he will, but forever. He is faithful. Your portion forever. Isn't that cool? Forever? Yeah, forever. Those who are far from you shall perish. They're following the wrong things. Okay, you have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, for following the wrong things. But it is good for me to draw near to God, to draw near to him, to abide with him, to be one with him, to be in his presence. It's a wonderful thing to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God. We're trusting in him like that little child being led, that I may declare all your works. We get the chance to bring it to others, to give him the glory. That drawing near to him is like James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But the first thing is that we seek to draw near to him, right? We seek the Lord that he may be found. We draw near to him and then he draws near to us. We have to make some sort of effort there. He's willing. He's standing there with arms wide open for everybody. Everybody, no matter what lifestyle they're living, no matter what they're doing, he is standing there with arms wide open. But they have to make the decision to come to him, to draw near to him. And then he will take them in, wrap his loving arms around them, and hold them tight, that nothing can harm them. Nothing can lead them away. If we fully surrender to God, if we give ourselves to him, we are held with his arms around us, his mighty, strong arms around us, that nothing can take us away. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've been, what you've done, he'll meet you where you are. He is faithful and he is good. Again, seek him. Stick to the teachings and stay close to God. Can't say that enough. Stick to his teachings and stay close to God. Our gospel today then, finally. Just two verses, but with a lot of depth. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, those that believed him, yeah, if you abide in my word, again, that word abide. And to abide where? In my word. His word. The biblical teachings right there. You can think of Jesus as the word too. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Abide in the teachings and abide in Jesus. If you abide in his word, you are his disciples indeed. Then you shall know the truth. Yeah, because it'll be in you, right? Again, it's going to permeate you. It's going to be in every cell of your body. It's going to surround you. It's like sitting in a hot tub, only better, because it's within you as well as around you. You'll know that truth. And the truth shall make you free. No matter what's plaguing you, no matter what's dragging you down, what's trying to drag you into sin, things like that, you can be free from it in Jesus. And we can be free from things like anxiety, free from guilt, free from shame, free from sin, free from stress, free from temptations, and free from eternal damnation. I mean, what a deal. Who wouldn't want that? Why would we choose anything different? Why would anyone choose anything different? Well, that temptation is strong, right? And it grips us, each in our own way. We're all tempted to different things. But once we gave up on that and we turned to Christ, we are set free from it. No more. It's done. You're healed. When we choose to abide with Him, to live with Him, to soak in His presence all the time. And as we do that, we're going to have incredible peace and freedom that we can bring to others. We're going to have a testimony. Listen to what God did for me. Not what I did, but what God did for me. How He set me free from the sin that used to entangle me. How I'm not that person anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Because of what God has done. Because I follow Him. Because I surrender willingly. Willingly surrender. It's not that I've been taken over by military force and forced to surrender. No, I willingly surrender to Him. I give up on the things that used to mislead us. Used to mislead me, and I willingly follow and serve Him. I stick to the teachings, and I seek to stay close to God. Let us all do that. Amen.